this episode of The Commercial Break.
But change will ask you nicely once, and then it will proceed. It's like water up against a stagnant wall. If you don't open it up, that wall becomes, that water becomes stagnant and stale and molded because it can't flow.
That's right.
You have to let the water flow. You have to let the leaves turn brown. You have to progress. That's what life is. People are fighting so hard not to change, but change is good. Yeah. Change is for the better.
Yes.
We're not the same people we were back in the fucking pilgrim days.
Right.
We're not those people no more.
Yes.
And we need to grasp that. And this is the only country who hasn't done that.
Yeah.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green, and I'm entering this TCB Infomercial Tuesday with a very special guest indeed. No singular person has tickled our fancies quite as much as our guest today. Former Saturday Night Live. She's an alum of Saturday Night Live. She's got a special on Showtime. She's been at the Aspen Comedy Festival Just for Laughs in Montreal. She's won an Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Supporting Actress. She's a former Ghostbuster. Or maybe she's a current Ghostbuster. Not even sure. Maybe there'll be a two. Ladies and gentlemen, Leslie Jones is here today. And I will tell you, while Chrissy's not here for the intro, I will share with you that Chrissy and I absolutely lost our shit with Leslie Jones. She was so fucking fantastic during this interview. We didn't even say hello to her. We just went right into the interview. It's that kind of guest. Very few of these have happened. She came on the line. We said, hey, it's you, Leslie. And then what you're going to hear is pretty much the beginning all the way to the end. Usually there's a few minutes of banter and then we talk about, hey, listen, we're going to start the show now. We're going to start the interview portion. Not with Leslie. So full of energy, so full of life, so full of wisdom, as you will hear. It goes wild. It goes a million different places. So Leslie Jones, TCB infomercial. All the links are in the show notes, as they always are. A few, let's call them, I don't know, a few little show notes, that show notes for the show notes that you have here. Chrissy and I are making some big changes to The Commercial Break coming in 2026. And that includes more live commercial break, less recorded commercial break. We'll explain more about that later on in the week. But get yourself prepared, because over the next couple of weeks, Chrissy and I are going to be changing the format of the show, changing the number of days that we put out podcast episodes, and increasing the number of days that we share live with you on places like Twitch and YouTube, possibly Instagram and TikTok and Kick. So pay attention to that. You want to follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram if you don't already, so that you can be plugged in to all the comings and goings. And we'll talk about it too here on the show. Nothing's wrong. Nothing happened. No one died. Chrissy and I just feel like it's time to shake it up, as we have on many different occasions. You know, we used to do one episode a week of this show. One. God, how I long for those days when we did one episode and we almost didn't get those episodes done. And then we went to two, and then we went to three, and then we got crazy and went to four. And we feel now it's time to pare it back a little bit and shift gears. The whole world is moving to video and live, and we are only 6 years behind the curve. So we will start doing more of that and interacting with our guests. It's all about engagement, kids. We want to hear from you. We want you to hear from us. Okay, but it's not about us today. We'll talk about that tomorrow on tomorrow's episode. What it is about is Lesdog, at Lesdog on Instagram. She's also on the Face Spaces. I'm sure she's got a TikTok too. All the links down in the show notes. She's got some live shows coming up January 16th and 17th. She'll be in Texas. She'll be in Highland, California. All of this, one person, one mega superstar in comedy. Actually, I don't think there has been a singular voice or person that has changed comedy. I mean, there are a few. We can think about them, right? Eddie Murphy, Steve Martin, George Carlin. I can go on and on. Chris Rock. And Leslie Jones. She is a force of fucking nature. And if this interview doesn't prove that, then you don't have a heartbeat. So let me do this. Let me take a short break. And when I get back, I'm going to let you listen to you out there in the audience, let you listen to me and Chrissy talking to Leslie Jones, and you'll see what a force of nature she really is. Right after these words.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of The Commercial Break.
Brian and Chrissy.
And we are honored to have you on our podcast.
Thank you.
We are.
Oh, stop it. Not honored.
Yes, honored. Yeah, we've done a lot of these, but I would have to say that I think when your name appeared on the calendar, we were a bit more than excited. And
can I ask a question before you start asking questions?
Absolutely.
What are you excited about with me? I find that when I meet people, they are like, and I'm like, what did I do to cause that?
Can I share with you?
Yeah.
First of all, you have a very unique comedic voice and perspective. But I think what most makes me admire you is that this didn't happen for you at 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And I am not 20 years old. And so it gives me a target. And I say, well, if Leslie did it, if Steve Martin did it, if this person and that person did it, then you can, it's never too late to see success. And I love that about you. I love that for you. I also love that you're fearlessly outspoken. And I think that takes a lot of courage, especially when you have a lot of eyeballs pointed at you. And so all those things combined, you're funny, you're fucking funny. And then you did it. You did it. But you didn't do it at 16 years old. Like a lot of these TikTokers.
Yeah, but you know what's so crazy? Age was never my thing.
No.
I didn't know I was old until I got to SNL. Because everybody was like, oh, she's so old. She old as hell. I don't know when she was old. She old. God damn it. She the oldest person in this building. It was like, wait a minute, 47 is not fucking old.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's actually the beginning. People need to really slow the fucking shit down. Mm. The 20s is when you fuck up your life.
Yeah.
The 30s is when you clean that up. The 40s is when you start living from all the experience that you've experienced.
That's so true.
It's the beginning, not the end.
Yeah.
I love this perspective, and it's one that we share because we have done that. We have lived multiple lives. Yeah, 20s we fucked up.
30s we're cleaning it up.
30s, well, late 30s we were cleaning up.
Yes. And then 40s, you got your shit together. Supposedly, you got your shit together, and now you're thinking about your future. That's what life is supposed to be. I wish people would really grasp to that, because then we would have better singers, better designers, because people would take their time to really get a foundation for what it is they want to do. I could not be as funny and helpful to anyone if I hadn't experienced anything.
Right? Yeah.
That's what Jamie Foxx told me. He was like, you a baby. You ain't went through shit. He was like, go out and get your heart broken, break hearts, get fired, quit jobs, go through fucking life. Mm-hmm. You cannot help no one if you ain't did shit. You can't give what you don't have inside of yourself. So I wish people would know that you don't need to be successful at 25. Matter of fact, your fucking brain is not even developed until you're 25.
Yeah, this is
why everybody's smart. Why everybody not as smart as the rental car companies? They do not let you rent their car until you're 25. So they must know something.
Yes.
They do. They know that you're right, that your prefrontal cortex hasn't even fully formed yet.
Yeah.
So your ability to make decisions based on experience is zero. Zero.
And the critical thinking in this country is so sad because they didn't put a name to it, right? So, you know, people can demonize names like they demonize woke, like they demonize DEI, like they demonize. And it's really sad because I hate these fucking trends and words that these keywords that we get stuck to and not really looking at the surface. Right now, this country is on the surface. We're not digging at all.
Mm. Yep.
Yes. Go.
You know, and I really understand life now at this point, because I remember thinking back in the day, I'm running away from being conscious. And it was always there. It was always roaming in the back, like, you know, one day you're going to have to walk through this fucking door. If you're going to get better as a person, as an artist, as a giver, you're going to have to walk through this conscious door. You're not going to be able to be stupid like you've been, like, roaming through life like ain't shit happening.
Yeah.
You're going to fucking have to wake up one day, because you are going to be speaking for people. So it's something for people to keep that part of their life open. And I think that's what's happening with our country now. I really believe COVID fucked us up.
Yeah,
for sure.
I really do believe COVID fucked us up. And I feel like the system that we depended on wasn't as dependable as we thought.
Yep.
And since we have so many different type of people, I think it's time to rebuild that shit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, Leslie, you just said something that I think is one of the most important lessons I ever learned in my 30s. Someone said to me, if it feels hard, you must lean into it, mm-hmm. because that is where the fucking knowledge is. Before, Brian, when it felt hard, you ran away or you hid or you morphed into something else to avoid that pain. But if it feels hard, if it feels painful, you must lean into it like a samurai on a sword, because that is where the knowledge is.
Oh, and I'm telling you, when you do that, oh my God, there's a part of yourself that goes, bitch, you's a bad motherfucker.
Yes.
You's a bad motherfucker.
Yes.
Like, this is one thing that I want this country to really understand. Change is what you're scared of.
Yep.
But change is a big part of life. And change don't give a fuck about you not wanting to change.
Yes.
Change is going to happen whether you want it to or not. Now, you can flow with it, or you can stand up against the wall and get your ass beat. But change will ask you nicely once, and then it will proceed. It's like water up against a stagnant wall.
Mm.
If you don't open it up, that water becomes stagnant and stale and molded,
because
it can't flow.
That's right.
You have to let the water flow. You have to let the leaves turn brown. You have to progress. That's what life is. People are fighting so hard not to change, but change is good. Yeah. Change is for the better.
Yes.
We're not the same people we were back in the fucking pilgrim days.
Right.
We're not those people no more.
Yes.
And we need to grasp that. And this is the only country who hasn't done that.
Yeah.
The only one. We're the only one. And I think that some people mistakenly got sold a bill of goods that that life was better at some fictitious point in the past, but it never was. It never was. It might
it
have been
always
for,
just developing. Like we all say, I know I say, the 80s was so fucking
great. We were just talking about this.
The 80s was so fucking great. The 90s was great too. But we have to realize that time don't give a fuck about all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Time is about roaming. And like, that's when I talk to people. When I talk to people who say they believe in God, I said, the God you believe in is this little box that you put him in. God had made a platypus. How dare you say that God's not going to make a gay man?
Yeah.
How dare you say God's not going to make a transgender?
Yes.
When there's hairy caterpillars.
Yes. Right.
Have you ever seen a caterpillar?
Yes, I have. It's a scary fucking little piece of shit. But
yeah, God made a caterpillar. Yeah. He's not going to make a transgender?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
If you really roam the animals, most of the animals are gay.
Yeah.
Did you know that lions are gay?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
Did you know they're very rough with their partner, but they're very sweet and sensual with their gay partner?
Nah.
Yo, there's things that people not understanding that's in life, and that you have put God here, and he's everywhere.
Yeah.
This is the part.
So stop this unloving bullshit, because it's going to destroy all of us. We're slowly destroying ourselves.
I saw this video, Leslie. I love this. I love what you're saying because I saw.
I know, but is this what the show is about? Like, we're fucking straight.
It's what the show is about is whatever it's about. Whatever manifests is what this show is about. And I think anybody who listens to it for a long time will understand.
Right. It's, oh my God.
It's kind of a little artsy fartsy in that way. Whatever comes out on the canvas is what comes out on the canvas. I love what you're saying. I watched this. A series of social media posts the other day about a young lady who went, she put a fake baby crying in the background. Mm-hmm. And did you see this?
I literally was just, because I'm going to be on The Daily Show again. And I was talking to the producer about maybe doing this piece. We're going to do another one. But I was like, okay, so she did this thing, right?
Yes.
Doesn't matter if it was fake or not. The response is what I'm looking at. So almost 10 churches, I think, something said no. And then when they saw the post, they had the nerve to come after this girl. One church said, oh, she's a witch. Wait a minute. First of all, if I was in a church and my pastor got up into the pulpit and said that this woman was a witch, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Witches? You ain't supposed to believe in witches.
That's right. You're a Christian.
I would walk the fuck out. Oh, this is the only social experiment I need. Of course you said that, you piece of shit.
Of course. People.
And you know what? Let me tell you. And in my book, I talk about this church. So when my brother died, I was all over the place. I was just looking for anything, right? And I started going to this church that was across the street from my house. It was called the Church on the Way. I will never forget it because it's the church on the way to hell. So I was going to this church and I actually was enjoying it when the pastor that was there, I was enjoying it, right? And he left and other people. So I'm sitting there talking. And one day, I was, like I said, mourning my brother and I was dealing with this Israeli guy. Oh my God, he was so good in bed, but he was freaking. So I'm in there, I'm in church trying to pray to Jesus to take him out of my life. Like, Lord, please, Lord. Please, I don't want to like this man no more.
He's got the good dick, but get him out.
He's got the good dick. Make him bad in bed, you know. Make him bad in bed or something. Make him ugly. Lord, you know, get me from him. So this guy's up there, and he goes, and I catch him. He's talking about some senator or something that's trying to run in Texas. And he goes, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want no shim running my state.
Ooh. What?
What?
I literally looked around because I was like waiting for everybody to be like, no, he didn't say that. All of them was into it.
Whoa.
And I saw this guy looking at me, right? He's just, and I'm listening to this man talk, and all I'm thinking in my head was, Lord, why are you not setting him on fire?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I know God does. It felt so bad and wrong. And this guy at the end of the bench was watching me the whole time, right? So when I got up in my head, I was like, oh, never coming back here.
Yeah,
right.
This place, I can't even, like, I was, you know, raised in the church and I started really questioning, like, is this what God is about?
Yeah.
So I got ready to leave. The sermon was over. I got ready to leave because I was going to leave anyway, but it was towards the end. This guy comes up to me that had been watching me and he says, I think you need to understand what the Republicans believe in. We believe, and he wouldn't let go of my hand. He goes, we believe that we need to earn all of our money. We believe that if we earn our money, we shouldn't have to help nobody our money.
What?
We believe that if you need to be able to, if you're of great mind, you should be able to make your own money. And I looked at him and I said, you in a church right now saying that. And I said, is Jesus a Republican? And then he gives me this Bible and I was like, I remember throwing that Bible in the garbage because I was like, I don't want nothing from you.
Yeah, that's insane.
And in my head, it really questioned everything that I thought about. Like, I've had to really go, okay, am I separating this? Is this just them or is this the religion? Does that make sense? So it took me on a journey of finding out what my spiritual shit was.
Yes.
You know? Because it's, and this is when these MAGA people are doing this, you When I'm in Memphis and I'm watching the news, this is all they're being fed.
All of it. Mm-hmm. All the time.
There's no one with right mind there telling them. Because my aunt said to me, she was like, well, you know, gay people, they're making that choice. And I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, they're choosing to be that way. And I said, that doesn't make sense. I said, are you choosing to be straight? She was like, no. I said, what? You was born like that, huh?
Yeah.
I said, so let me explain something to you. I said, in your Bible, it has homosexuality, but in the original text, it has sexual deviance. I said, you would fall under that. You have three babies' daddies, three children with three different fathers. You are a sexual deviant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So stop this bullshit. Y'all use this word when you want to use it. You're not God, and you're definitely not the abominator.
Mm.
And I don't think God wants you speaking for him. Mm.
Yeah,
I get so incensed, and I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell you are too. That I mean, geez, I grew up in going to Catholic school all my life, and the one thing that I took away from my constant browbeating with the Bible and the sin and all this other stuff, the one thing that I took away, and I'm glad this is what I took away, is that Jesus Christ, if he existed, and I believe he might have, if he existed, his one purpose on this earth was to show us that all the answers are right inside, and it all starts and ends with love and treating. It's a mirror. You treat the world exactly how you intend to be treated. And if you do that well, everything's going to work out okay for you. Not everything's a happy ending, but everything will work out okay. You're doing good. If you treat the world badly, it's going to be shine right back at you. The Bible is tens of thousands of words, and you can literally use any of the sentences any way you want. And by the way, the Bible has been changed. There's like 50,000 versions of the Bible, all changed to suit whatever mood or attitude these people want. And it drives me fucking crazy.
It drives me insane. I'll be like, you guys, okay, I get that this Bible was written back and, you know, God came down and struck the tablet. So, okay. But you don't think that these narcissistic, chauvinist piece of shit men would change the verse?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's very easy to do that. Are you crazy?
Yes.
Like St. James. St. James had the Bible written. Pieces of it was written by Shakespeare, a sexual deviant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of it was written by sexual deviants. Like this, I really tell my aunt all the time, I said, I think you guys take that book too literal sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that there's people who could study it and take it in the right way. But we do not know what the original text is.
We have no idea.
And that's the thing that we need to understand, that out of all of that, because I will tell you, like what you just said, we're supposed to get the basis of that love to have a relationship with him on our
own. That's right.
And truly, I feel like I have a relationship with him where he shows me what I need to know.
Yeah.
And I remember telling my aunt, I said, you know, I have a great relationship with God, and he definitely would not tell me something. I believe that. But
I think that's spirituality, not religion.
People take religious. Yes. Yeah, religion and a relationship with God, to me, are two different things.
Absolutely.
Religion is man.
Yes.
You know?
Religion is the dogma. It's the things. It's the things that weighed us down into this worldly bullshit. It's preaching a Republican agenda from the pulpit. That is dogma. That is religion.
Is it? Yeah. Yes. I'm thinking about that. You know that movie Ben Affleck did with Matt Damon when they were angels? They came down.
Oh, Dogma. The movie's called Dogma. Yeah, the Dogma. Kevin Smith movie.
I still think that movie is one of the best.
It's brilliant. It's
one of the best
movie.
Religious movies. I know Chrissy is like,
I'm enjoying it. No, I'm enjoying it.
I came to talk about comedy.
Brian and I talk about this all the time.
We've been
best friends for 20 years. And so this is, we've talked about this.
Chrissy was like,
Chrissy's like, where did we go wrong here, Brian?
I'm enjoying it.
I just wanted to ask her what kind of peaches she like or something.
But here's the thing, Leslie.
No, but it's so true.
Yes.
All of this.
Sometimes people come in on our door, right?
Yeah.
And comedy is what we talk to them about, or their movie, or their whatever.
Yeah.
And we can get to all that. But sometimes there is just the magic happens and you get started with someone and it's just like anybody you would meet on the street. Sometimes you meet someone on the subway or having a coffee and you go, you're on the same wavelength and you go, oh, holy shit, that person is here for a reason, talking about this for a reason. I should have my ears open.
I feel like that's who society is. Society needs to have permission to do the things that they want. Like I talk about men going to therapy all the time. Now it's just, now it's really blown up. Love that, because now men are actually going to therapy, hopefully, and taking it fucking serious. But like, I think we need to give permission to like, I, whenever I talk to 20-year-olds, I'd be like, hey, I'm giving you the permission now to be a fucking 20-year-old.
Yeah.
I said, why do you have underwear on? The fuck is happening? The fuck is happening? Yeah. Like, why are you so... In my 20s, I didn't even know who the president was.
Yeah.
I just like, y'all going to vote? I'm about to go
I'm going to hit a key up in the bathroom and have a couple of Moscow mules and forget my own name. Yes.
Oh, it's like, give me another drink. Shit. And then really, seriously, I think it was about 29. Let me, because I can't really, all I remember is that I started doing comedy. I had started doing comedy in 93. Because 87 is when I started, but then I took a break after I talked to Jamie, and I was like, let me go live life, and I did for 6 years, and then 93 is when I started, and I can't remember how old I was. Somebody had to do the math for me. I'm 58 now, and that was 1993, so somebody had to do the math.
53, 1993, that's 30 years ago. You were 50, you were 30, but no, you were 25.
Yeah, that 25. Sounds right.
Yeah, 25, 26 years old.
Ooh, I was so hot.
I know. It's so funny. You think back when you look and you're like, God, why was I? Oh my, why was I just walking around naked
didn't
everywhere?
Have no confidence. Yeah. Oh
yes,
my God.
I know. I didn't either. I was like,
if I could quantum leap, I would quantum leap back to that time and go, bitch.
Exactly.
You are gorgeous. You don't even understand how gorgeous you are. You need to fucking own it right now. I need you to own it right now. Because after I left my first boyfriend, I think I went into the scope of that, oh, that's going to be the only guy that ever really actually liked me. Because I was not very confident in my looks. I was tall. I didn't think men really found me attractive. So if you start off with that low self-esteem plus desperation, you get yourself into
You
shit,
do. Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
If I could go back, I would tell myself, hey, bitch, stop listening to the motherfuckers. I am you. I'm the future hoe. Please get your ass put in. And please keep that fucking body. Keep that fucking body.
Yep. I love the quantum leap.
You know, sometimes I'll meditate and I'll actually talk to my younger self. I'll talk to him at certain points. I'll pick a point in the past and I'll say, hang tight, brother.
Yeah.
Hang tight. This is a tough time, but you're going to get through it. Don't do anything stupid. Don't make any, just stay still. Stay still or move forward.
You know what I do sometimes with my old self? I go, would my old self do this gig? Like, there'll be some gigs that people will be like, yo, you should do it because this, and this. And then I'll go, would my old self? And my old self would be like, hey, bitch, you're not tired. Get your motherfucking ass up and make that fucking money. I always talk about how if I actually quantum leap back to my old self, and I start talking inspirational and telling her shit, my old self would have been like, okay. Give me your clothes. Like, I couldn't fight my old self. My old self would beat me up and rob. Yeah. Like, give me all the braces, bitch. Take them all off.
Jamie was a big...
I know it's going to fit.
I love it.
Jamie was a big inspiration for you, huh? When you started in comedy shortly thereafter, you were opening gigs for Jamie.
No. This is so crazy. People just like, you know, they'll get that information and just make it wonderful, like they need to make it a story. But basically what it was that I won a contest in college. I was like, fuck that. I'm going to be a comedian. I flew back to L.A. My homegirl, who was, you know, just my homegirl, she was like, I'm going to be your manager. You know how pretty it is. And she got me this gig. She got me this gig at this place called The World in LA. I think Magic Johnson owned it at the time, but a lot of basketball players and stuff went there. Anyway, they was having a comedy show there. This guy Speedy was hosting it, and Jamie Foxx was the headliner that night. And I opened up and was fucking horrible, bombed like a motherfucker. Ooh. But I didn't really understand the scope of what I was supposed to do. So I stayed and I watched Jamie Foxx, and I was mesmerized because I was like, oh my God, he's performing like Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy. I was like, oh my God.
He's got that energy.
And I remember grabbing my friend going, okay, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. That's it. Okay. So now I see what I got to do. I see what I got to do now. Just like, can we talk to him? So it was just that one time. So the story is, and which is true, I made I knew Speedy like big bitches, and she was a big bitch, and she's beautiful, right? So I said, go talk to him, get him, you know. And so she, you know, went to go hook up with him, and we all went to Fat Burger afterwards. And to this day, I tell Jamie, I said, I know Wanda is me, you fucking asshole. And that's how I felt about myself. Yeah. And he was like, no. He was like, it's a mixture of a gang of women. But I was like, whatever. Yeah. But he was like, I was trying to talk to him. Now, when I see that he wasn't taking my advances, I was like, fine. Because I was even like, yo, you know, you like me, whatever. But he was like, you're a child. Like, you're 18. How are you? And I was like, 18. He was like, yeah, you're a fucking child. Like, and then he was like, you want to be a comedian? I was like, I want it so fucking bad. And I was like, and after seeing you, I see that it can be. He was like, yeah. He said, you actually have great stage presence. He said, but you don't got shit to talk about. He was like, you haven't been through anything. He was like, just go live. Go live life. He was like, you're 18 years old. He was like, comedy will be here when you get back.
That is a brilliant mentor move. And two things I like in that story. Number one, you're a child. He wasn't going to be freaky, right? Number two, he was a gentleman. Number two, he said, remember The Matrix, the movie, when Neo goes to the Oracle and the Oracle says, sorry, kid, you're not the one. And he goes back and he says, what did he say? And Neo goes, he said, I'm not the one. And then Lawrence Fishburne's character goes, no, he told you exactly she told you exactly what you needed to hear in that moment. And that's like a Matrix moment. He told you you ain't got shit to talk about. So you bet you got to go live some life so you figure it out. But there's something there. And so come back and talk to me when you live some life, right? And that is a brilliant Oracle moment. And everybody has those. But some people sometimes I don't think our eyes are open. I don't think our eyes are open.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm just looking for it. Because somebody else would have took that and said, fuck him. I'm finna go do what I'm gonna do and I'm gonna be comic. But me, it was more of like, because this is real talk. After that night, I remember this. I will never forget this. I remember praying to God. I was like, Lord, I wanna be a comedian. I was like, if I'm not funny though, just let me be in the business in some type of way. Like if I own a club or if I'm an agent or something, I want to be part of this, but I want to be funny. I want to be funny. So whatever it is that I got to do to be funny, I'll do it. And I remember getting a sense of, okay, it's not going to be easy. And it fucking was not. It was fucking not. But from the beginning, and I know this sounds kind of cocky, but from the time I touched that mic, I knew I had it. Even when I went back in 93 and performed for the first time, I knew I had it. I just had to figure it out. And I remember the club owner coming up to me going, yo, your ass got potential. You got potential. You fucking keep writing. You keep writing and you keep coming and you can come back here anytime you want to. And that lady was hardcore. She would tell you to your face, Sharon, from the Comedy Act Theater, she would look at you and go, you're not fucking funny. Don't come back to my motherfucking club. I'm not going to put no unfunny motherfuckers on my stage. But she looked at me and she's like, you got potential. And she was like, and that's not many women in here. You fucking just keep writing, keep writing. And that's all I was addicted to it at that point.
You knew from, and I think that.
And you kept getting a couple signs here and there. Telling you to keep going.
But your ears were open. And that's the difference.
Yeah, and Martin Lawrence. I remember Martin Lawrence saw me in the Comedy Act, and this is a long time ago. He was, you's a funny big bitch. I remember him saying that. You's a funny big bitch. David Chappelle. Dave Chappelle hit on me because I was fine. Like I said, I was fine as fuck back then. And I had long hair. And I remember Dave Chappelle, he was like, you fine as fuck. Dave, I was like, he was like, you fine as fuck. He was like, what's your name? And I was like, I'm a comedian. I don't fuck comedians. If you trying to book me, I can do that. But step off.
Good for you.
He was like, oh, you a comedian? And I was like, yeah. And I went up. And then when I came down, he was like, you need to go to New York.
Oh, really?
And Martin was like, you need to go to New York. And I was just like, because I was really at that. By that time, I had been doing it for like 3 months. And I won a contest. I beat like big veterans. I had won this big contest. And everybody was like, yo, and they was like, it's time for you to go to New York. It's time for you to go to New York. But I still didn't go. Because I was too scared. I was like scared to go. And plus, I was like, I didn't know if I had money. Mm-hmm. It was just so many things.
Fast forward for me a minute because I don't know the story. How do you get, I mean, now there's many years in between, say many years, like a decade almost or two. And then there are probably hundreds of gigs and ups and downs and, you know, misery and defeats and wins and losses and all this. But then how did you get Saturday Night Live? Like, how did you get on SNL? Tell that story. I love when you laugh before you say something because I know it's going to be good.
Okay, so from what I know, this is after my brother passed away, and I started doing material that I was really in a I don't give a fuck mode. I can't explain it to you. I just didn't give a fuck. I didn't give a fuck if I was funny. I was ready to do my brother died, so I was like, I'm gonna die soon. So let me get these jokes out, you know? So I started doing this joke. Fernanda, I just feel like it's gonna go off. Look, it's at 3%.
If you need to take a second to plug it in, it's okay, Leslie.
Plugged in.
It says it's charging.
I know, but I'm just scared. If we go off, it
okay,
was not.
I got it. It's 10-4.
It was the computer. Anyway, so I'm telling you, them years after my brother passed away, I was a motherfucking samurai. And I was a mean samurai. I wasn't a good samurai. I was the one, I was coming in slashing all throats. Like, I didn't give a fuck. Like, I wore these long cardigans. So whenever I would walk out the club, the wind would go under my cardigan.
Yeah.
Like, I was a fucking villain. I mean, I was a murderer on stage because I didn't give a fuck. I didn't give a fuck. And one night I was at the Comedy Store and I was performing the slave joke, the one I did the update about.
Yep.
It was actually a joke. So I'm doing that joke, murdering. And my friend Owen Smith said that Chris Rock was standing in the door watching me. And he pulled out his phone and typed something down. And Owen, you know, he was like, yo, dude, what you typing? He was like, I got a list of comics to look out for. And I just put her on that list. So Owen was like, you got me on that list. And he's like, I want you to stand and watch me. And he said, Chris just turned around and walked out. Right. So 2 days later, I get a call from Chris Rock. And I was like, first of all, how the fuck you get my number? I don't remember ever giving you my number, motherfucker.
So it's Chris Rock.
Yeah. You can get a hold of whatever.
Yeah. I didn't give a fuck. I didn't give a fuck. I swear.
You were
I didn't
in
give
that
a fuck.
Zone.
I was like, what you want? Like, what do you want? And he was like, hey, I talked to Lauren Michaels. I just had dinner with him. I told him about you. They're going to call you about an audition for SNL. And I went completely berserk on him. I was like, why in the fuck would you do that? Whoa. I was like, I'm not no motherfucking sketch comic. I'm a real fucking comic. Why you call me with this shit? I don't do that shit.
Wow.
I love it.
Like, I don't want to be on Saturday Night Live. That's not even a funny show. That show ain't fucking funny. The motherfuckers are not funny on there. Okay? So what the fuck? Now, I will tell you this. During all of that time, what happened was they talked to Keenan and misquoted Keenan. Keenan said that if you come to SNL, you got to be ready. And sometimes black female comics don't understand that you have to really be ready when you come here. And he was right. So they misquoted him and said that black females are not funny, right? Yeah. So that got to me, and they interviewed me, and I said, I've never seen this motherfucker on nothing but Kenan and Cal. Who the fuck is this motherfucker? And I remember when I first met Kenan, he was like, you went hard on me.
I
was like,
yeah, I thought you said this.
Like, and I remember, okay, I'm mixing it up, because the stuff that I'm telling you about happened after. So it was a night. Russell Simmons had a room in this theater at the Universal Park. And it was like a theater, and he would have a show, and it was packed. So that's the night that I found out Kenan had said that. And I went on stage. When I say murdered, y'all don't even understand that I was ripping souls out of fucking people's bodies and then putting it back in. Damn. And just like, that's how much I love comedy so much, because it's a thing. It's like, it's you'll never
be playing with the energy
with me.
Yeah.
Oh God. And you just zoom, you know, I'm just murdering. And then at the end of my, I'm talking about people, Russell Simmons losing it. Yo, at the end of the fucking set, I said, and they said that black females are not funny. And then I dropped the mic and walked off. And let me tell you something. I'm talking about roaring, right? Okay, so fast forward. And I went out to sell DVDs. I went right outside and sold all my DVDs for $20 each.
I remember. Get that back.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, and it's so, you know, I've been through so many things. I had did Jeff Jam, got 3 standing O's, but everybody was surrounded by Tiffany, which Tiffany was very funny, but she was what they wanted. Anyway, so I'm going off on Chris, and I was like, I don't do sketch comedy, so you need to call him and tell him that I'm not doing that. So he was like, you're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot, and you're fucking going. And then he hung up in my face. So I was like, all right. So I go, I had the nerve to call my manager at the time and say, man, Chris Rock just called me with some fucking bullshit, talking about he want me to go audition for SNL. And my manager was like, what?
Your manager's like, are you go get that bag?
Yeah. Are you fucking stupid? You're a fucking idiot. Like, they were like, my friends, everybody was like, you've lost your goddamn mind. You fucking got that. I was like, I'm not doing that shit. I'm not scared of it. So the lady called, right? Lindsay Shookus at the time called my manager, set up the audition, right? That he's going to fly me out. Now, in my head, this is how cocky I am. I'm going out there to say, no. I'm not only am I going to make them want me, I'm going to say no. That's how cocky I am.
You are on fire. You're just on fire in this moment.
And I had already been doing comedy
20
this
years.
Was 2000. Yeah. This was 2000, the end of 2013. I remember because it was the Christmas show and Justin Timberlake was the host. And I was cocky as fuck by that time. By that time, I'm like, I don't give a fuck, right? So I'll go out to the audition. Now they put us, you know, this is when they're looking for black females. So there's like 12 black females. I don't know none of them.
Interesting.
I ain't never seen none of y'all in no club. So y'all must be on that.
Yeah, improv shit.
And they were so Hollywood, just, oh my God, I was like, every time they would talk, I'd be like, you know, like, and they wasn't really respecting me, even though they know who I was. They already knew. I had already did
you had
all
your
that shit. So they knew
you
who I was. But they was, and then I'm 47, so in their mind, they're like, they're not going to pick her. But in my head, I'm like, bitch, I will run circles around all you hoes. All you hoes. So I remember it was me, LaKendra, and Amber Ruffin.
Amber Ruffin, okay.
Yeah.
And Amber Ruffin walked over to me when we was getting our bags, and she was like, bitch, I know who you are. I fucking love you. Your motherfucking ass. And we became buddies right then. We were just like, she was like, can you see these bitches in these? But, you know, we like, and then LaKendra came over. We immediately bonded with LaKendra. So it was us three, right? So they take us there. The tree is up. We're fucking like, in my head, I'm starting to kind of.
You're envisioning it now. Yeah. Now you're like, okay.
You know, because I didn't been to New York. I didn't been to New York to perform, but not in this capacity. So I'm just like, this is crazy. I didn't even know they had a tree down here. This is insane. So We go and, you know, they're showing us stuff and then we had to have the audition. Now, I'm looking at these girls. I'm looking at these girls and I'm just like, there's no way they can be funny. They have to be sketch. They have to be sketch girls because they're just very.
They weren't your brand. They weren't your
energy. But I don't want to give them a bad name. They were what their managers told them to be. Right. Does that make sense? None of them was. I didn't even have makeup on.
They came in.
I think I had my lashes done. Yeah. You know how you can go get your lashes done. I think I had my lashes done, but I had no makeup on. And I had did my own hair. I had a pair of jeans on with a fucking t-shirt. I usually perform in. I was there. I was literally. I did not realize how raw and green and just. I know when Lauren saw me, he was like, "Ooh, this is a bright. Ooh, this is a.
Yeah.
I want to chisel through. That's what Keenan. So I hadn't met Keenan and none of them yet, right? So we get there to the audition, and girls are going in, and they're coming out looking like ghosts.
I know this is like very tough fucking process.
So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, it's a hard room. That's all I'm thinking, a hard room. And then LaKendra went in. She came out. She was like,
good for her.
That shit was fun. And I was like, okay. And then in my head, I was like, okay, now I'm starting to see that performers, you if you're a real performer, you got
the confidence.
Then Amber went in and she came out. She was like, she going to kill it. And I was like.
She gave you what you needed.
So when I went in, I was like, I got to be different from everybody else. I had already been peeping how the place looked like a maze. Uh-huh. It was just like, if you ever been at SNL under the bleachers, it's like a big city. It's like, it's crazy, right? So when Chris took me in, Chris came to the door and he said, hey, just go straight. You see the stage? Just go straight. And I was like, okay. I didn't go straight. I went to the... Because I knew that they was right there by the bleachers. I went to the side and Chris was like, wait. And then I went, Chris, I don't think I see the stage anymore. And he comes back. He's like, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? I told you to go straight. No, just go fucking straight. Just go straight. Oh, okay. Just straight. Okay, straight. So then he goes and I go to the next side. So I was like, Chris, this is not, and you can hear them dying. All right, this is not working. The fuck? Chris came and he was like, are you fucking with me? What are you talking about, Chris? What are you talking about? Are you fucking with me? The stage is right there. And then he just started laughing. I was like, Chris, are you mad? You can hear them dying, right? So I finally made my way to the stage. And they were sitting in the back, and I was like, hey, you guys, can you kind of move up? Because I don't really do an empty room, so kind of move up because I need the energy. And they got up and moved up. And I did my set, and I knew I ripped it because that's what I do. I did a cartwheel. I set my set up to where it was me when I was little and then when I grew up. So I ended with the slave joke. All my jokes was just... and all the day you can't not laugh. If you're not laughing, you're dead inside.
Oh my God, I've got chills.
When I came out,
this is crazy.
When I came out, I was like, if I don't got it, I bet you that motherfucker invited me to be a writer or something. But then I was like, I don't want to be a fucking writer. I want to be a cast member, right? Because by then,
want it. Exactly. Yeah, the glitz and the glamour and
they made me want
the history. All of
that made me want it. Mm-hmm. Right. So then we fucking go get something to eat. We go get something to eat at this restaurant. We're all sitting at this long table. Oh God, the conversations. And I'm looking at LaKendra and at the yakking. It's just, I'm just like, oh God, I'm too old for this shit. I don't like this shit. You know, I'm getting, you know, I was like, oh God, this is going to end soon. Thank God we all get to go home tomorrow. Right. So I get the text that says, hey, from Jeff, hey, Leslie, we would like you to stay for the show so you can see how things work. Then I looked up at LaKendra and LaKendra looked up at me because she got the same text. And then Amber looked at me because she got the same text. No, all of us is at the end of the table. We got that text, right? So we're like, and then I said, you know what? I am fucking exhausted, you guys. This shit has been really mentally hard on me. So I'm just going to get my food to go and go back to the hotel. And then Amber was like, yeah, I got to call my husband. LaKendra was like, yeah, I need to call my man. So make our stuff to go. We left some money and we fucking got out of there. And we went around the corner and we was like, and then so we skipped all the way back. We did the Laverne and Shirley. We was like, let me out. We was just like, just so fucking happy. So we go back to the hotel and we're in there. We're eating our food, talking about everything. Oh God, we're going to get the meat just to late. Oh my God, you know, we just going crazy. And we hear slamming doors. What the fuck you mean? Yo, we hear it screaming in the hallways. From the other girls, like, what the fuck are you talking about? You can hear them screaming in the hallway. And I went to go open the door, and Emma was like, do not open that door. That bitch is a killer. Right? So we stayed for the weekend. And I'm telling you right now, when I walked in there for that show, and we're sitting there, when we walked in, it's me, LaKendra, and Amber, we're walking in this way. Sashir and some other girl was, so we all. Lauren is diabolical. We all walk right here. As soon as I laid eyes on Sashir, I was like, that's who they're going to be. Sashir was beautiful. She was beautiful. Like, her teeth, her skin, her smile, she was just, I would pick her. I looked at LaKendra and I said, LaKendra, that's who they're going to pick. She was like, you don't know. I said, LaKendra, look at this girl. Look how beautiful she is. She's fucking beautiful. I was like, they're going to pick her. She looks like she knows what she's doing. Like, she looks like what she's they want, the you know? Yeah. Like, you know, well, what they think they want. In my head, I was going, what they think they want. See, because they think that, you know, she's going to come and she's going to be, you know, a proper black woman, which Sashir is all class. But they wanted ghetto. And I love Sashir, but she can't really be ghetto. When I saw her, it was like this relief went off on me because I was like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this show because they was a live band. It was a Christmas show. That's fun. I just enjoyed myself because I was like, whatever happens, happens. And I knew that they weren't going to pick me. But then I remember I had to fly to Indianapolis and I remember my manager called me. He was like, yeah, I think they're going to. I said, yeah, they're going to pick Sashir. And he was like, yeah, buddy, I'm sorry. And I was in Indianapolis. I had just had a bad experience with this gig. And I was like, okay, I'm 47, so what are we going to do? Are we going to go and work with my aunt in the government, or are we going to continue to do this shit, you know? So I went back to L.A., and it was raining. I remember it was a dark overcast, and I was like, let me go get my nails done. Maybe that'll make me feel better. And I'm driving, and this 212 number kept calling my phone, and I was like, that's them to tell me that they're going to turn me down. I don't want to hear that shit. And then it kept ringing. I was like, let me just pick it up. I picked it up, and it was like, Lauren,
oh my God.
Celeste James. And I was like,
Lauren, go from for Leslie.
So I'm in the parking lot of the nail salon, and I said, yes. And he was like, Leslie, we love you. And we would love for you to come out and be a writer. We want you to be a writer. And I was like, can I be honest with you? I was like, I'm not a fucking writer. I'm an in the front of the camera person. I'm not a writer. I'm not a behind. I ain't never wrote. And he was like, Leslie, I know what you are.
That's a great impression.
You're something that I didn't know I needed. And I just come out. We'll figure it out. And I was like, all right, cool. So then I hung up with him. And then the writer called me, Kendrick, the head of the writer. He was like, yeah, we're going to give you $10,000 to move on.
Snap.
Yo, when I hung up that phone, I jumped out the car and I was like, I got SNL. And I ran around the parking lot and I'm screaming, look at SNL. At SNL, and the security guard that I always talk to when I go there, he's like, Leslie, are you okay? I was like, I got SNL. He's like, what's SNL? What is that?
What is that?
That is the best SNL origin story we have heard, and we have heard a few.
Yeah.
Leslie, you are like, you remind me of so many people that I knew growing up in, I mean, much funnier, but so many people that I knew growing up in Chicago who gave me also, I think, the great gift of storytelling.
Yeah.
You're so good at it. Yeah. You're so good at weaving a tale and making it funny and interesting and raising the stakes and getting us all excited about the next drop. And you're so good. But that story is legitimately
that's incredible.
The best SNL origin story I have heard. Maybe the best that I've ever read.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you became... And then... I think SNL, I mean, SNL is when most people in mainstream America, right, probably connect with Leslie Jones, and you become like legendary. You're just like this legendary you're not everybody else on the cast. And you're right about that, that there's like this little box that all these SNL people fit in of these improv characters. And there's been other, you know, out of the box characters before, but I just remember tuning in because of Leslie Jones.
Exactly.
Like that was a reason to tune in. I've always loved SNL, but some seasons, you could take it or you could leave it. But when Leslie was on, it was a reason to tune in. Tell me about you. I love you so much. Thank you for sharing that story and putting a smile on our faces. Tell me about this new special, Life Part 2. It's on Peacock.
It's Life Part 2 is basically what it means. Like, I'm at the second part of my life, and it's wonderful. It's I built a great, strong foundation for me to have a good time in this part of my
that's
life.
So nice.
You know, and that's what I tell young people all the time. Stop rushing. Yeah. Build the foundation. It takes a minute to build a strong foundation, and the materials don't, like, it's like a video game. Like, when you go to certain levels, you only get certain materials. That's what life is like. You're not going to get this until you turn this. You're not going to get this until you turn this. So the materials that you need to build your foundation comes through you living life and walking the trail of your destiny.
Will you be like my life coach?
I know, right?
Can we get on a WhatsApp group? And
can we have a meeting once a week?
Yeah, can we have a meeting once a week? Once a month, I'll take it. Like, just a WhatsApp meeting, you know?
Oh, I mean, that's so funny. Oh, God, trust me. It's not always wonderful. Life isn't like that.
Of course, not always.
You know, but that's what life is. It's like learning how to deal with those moments too. It rains, it pours, and sometimes it's fucking sunshine. That's life. And live each part of it.
Yeah.
Because when you get older, I swear to God, you're going to be so mad at yourself for being upset at that moment. Don't waste no more time. And worrying don't do shit for you. Worrying don't change the situation. It don't do nothing but make you feel bad. So worrying just stuck
that's
with it.
From your lips to God's ears. I remember being twisted up on whatever, LSD, mushrooms, sometime when I was a teenager. My childhood was a little rough. My parents, I remember looking up and seeing that fucking moon. And I just remember thinking to myself, that moon ain't at all pretty without all that darkness behind it. You have a life well lived is not all about the shits and giggles. It's about the real pain that we experience and our ability to dust it off and get back up again.
How you deal with
and
it.
look at the moon one more time.
Well, I wish I was your friend, because I would have told you not only to look at the moon like that, but to also know that there's going to be a day that you're going to be looking at that moon from somewhere else. And it's going to be okay.
Now you are my friend. So there we go. Leslie Jones, new special, link down in the show notes. This has been one of our favorite.
Wow.
I think I can speak for both of us when I say this has been one of our favorite hours this season.
That's all good. Are you kidding me? I have loved every minute of this. Thank you so much for coming on.
We're best friends for 30 years.
Yeah.
She's 20 years. We ride. Sometimes she rides. Sometimes I ride. That's just the way it is.
Well, I love you both. It was very, very fun
back?
To talk to you. Yes, of course.
Come back. Leslie Jones, everybody. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Leslie.
That's so good. We didn't even intro the episode. We just went straight into it. And it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to put it together. Thank you, Leslie.
Wow.
Rachel here. While Brian takes his old man bladder to the little boy's room, let's talk turkey. TCB needs your help. If you love the show, do us all a favor and share. Sharing is caring, and we know you care, don't you? Well, don't you? Ooh, that was some childhood trauma rearing its ugly head. Do you want to be on the show? Leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3822, and you could be the next TCB disembodied voice. Ooh, what'd you do today? I was a disembodied voice. You know, that sounds more dangerous than it actually is. Find us on Insta at The Commercial Break, on the web at tcbpodcast.com, and all the episodes on video are available the same day at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. I'm going to go help Brian get back up the stairs while you listen to the sponsors, and then we'll all meet back here and get back to this episode of The Commercial Break. I'll take a raise now, bitches. Bye.
Force of nature. No interview in the commercial break history has been quite like the Leslie Jones interview. I will remember it for the rest of my life, and I hope that she comes back and comes back soon. All right, all of the links are in the show notes in case you don't know how this goes yet. Life Part 2 is her new special. Check it out. Links in the show notes. And then she's got some live dates coming up. I think I heard her say something about Comedy Central. Huh?
Huh?
Leslie Jones Daily Show? What are you talking about? All right. Everybody settle down. Okay, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Chrissy and I will be radically changing the schedule of the commercial break coming up very soon. At the commercial break on Instagram. We will post about it. We will let you know. We will talk about it here on the show. Don't worry. We won't raw dog you. We'll let you know. We'll let you know, but just get used to this idea. Less recorded commercial break on the podcast RSS feed and more live commercial break streaming via YouTube, Kick, Twitch, Instagram, TikTok. It's what all the kids are doing, and so we are going to jump on the bandwagon one decade after it started. We like to make sure things are actually happening. After our Clubhouse debacle, where I spent 6 months on Clubhouse, and it turned out to be an absolute shit show. I decided, let me wait and see how it turns out. Let's wait and see how this YouTube thing turns out before we invest in it. Well, guess what? Looks like things are going well for YouTube. So we're going to go over there and we're going to stream. And we want you involved in the conversation. We are sick of sitting here by ourselves and not having you a part of the conversation. And you can do that on Kick, on Twitch, on YouTube, on Instagram. You can DM us, you can chat live with us, you can even turn on your camera and get involved. Yes, we have that capability, and we look forward to seeing your pretty faces. You can phone in live, talk to us, ask us questions. We'll ask you questions. We'll interview you instead of Leslie Jones, okay? 212-433-3TCB. The phone is back. It is working. I am responding. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. Make sure you turn on notifications so you're notified when we do go live. And tcbpodcast.com. Always get a free sticker there. Okay, until next time, I will tell you that I love you. I will say best to you. And I will tell you that until the next time we see you or hear you or stream with you, I will say I do say namaste. Goodbye.